This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
There are some basic truths in life where change is no option. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we know that as we live in this world, we are always changing. That's the way life is. But we know, O God, that there are some very basic truths that do not permit change. Some of those truths are found in the scriptures which you have given to us. They are not open for change. Grant that we may understand that as a people, and especially people of the church who claim Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. For it is in his holy name that we pray. Amen. Following the political caucuses in Iowa, a candidate said, "We have learned that Americans want a change. Washington is broken, and it needs to be fixed." The question then could be, well, what are the needed changes? I think most of us agree that there was some truth in what he had to say, but where would he begin? And then the question could become very personal. How, if you became the President of the United States, would you fix all of these problems? How would you make the changes? And you can be sure that every one of these people would have given you an answer. For they had strong convictions, and I believe that they really thought that what they would do would work. I have great respect for all of those who came to let us know that they would like to be the President of the United States, and what they had said they felt was the right way to go. Well, politics is not our topic on Christian Crusaders, but I simply use this today to bring out to you that there are those who say the Church of Jesus Christ is sick, and it needs to have some changes made. I would be the first one to agree with you on this matter. There are some things that need to be changed in the church. And these are my personal feelings, but I think that they can be borne out as you take a look at what is going on in congregation after congregation and seminary after seminary. I wonder if we do not have to take a real look at our attitude towards the Word of God. Our confessions state that the Bible is the inspired Word of God and our only authority in matters of faith and life. Do we really believe that today? I personally have a feeling that we are slipping on this particular account. I think we are saying, well, we've got to consult culture and see how culture reacts to some of our teachings in the Word of God. And if they become too offensive, and if they might split the church, or if they might turn somebody off in culture, then maybe we ought to do something about changing it the other way. I would hurry on to say to you that when we have a loose interpretation of the Word of God, the church is in need of change. Somewhere, something is breaking down. When we, for example, say that there may be many ways to heaven, then I think the church is in need of change. For the Bible makes it very clear that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That is a primary teaching of the Word of God, and it cannot be changed, even though society might want us to say, well, perhaps that's just a little bit too dogmatic. I believe we also have to take a look at some of our ethics. Are we lessening up on some of them? The ethics that deal with sexuality, the ethics that question whether it is necessary today for a man and a woman to be married, is not same-sex marriage also tolerable? And when we have that particular position, we are going contrary what is taught in the Word of God, and the church needs to be up for change in these areas. And so we could go on and talk about this thing and that thing. But when the church departs from the teaching of the Word of God, it is in need of change. But when the Bible is held up as the only authority, then we realize that doctrine cannot be changed. The Bible is the Word of God. So today, I'd like to listen to God's Word in our assigned text for the day. This is, by the way, the first Sunday in Lent, and now we'll spend these next weeks as the Holy Spirit prepares our hearts for the Good Friday and also for the glorious resurrection morn, Easter. The text today takes us back to the creation story. Kind of an interesting way to open up the Lenten message. You will recall that in the first chapter of John, this account of God's creating the world is very, very specific. When he has it all created, however it was done, then he looked at it and he said, "And it is good." Now he was ready for the crowning work of the creation, and that was to create the human being, male and female. And those in the first chapter of Genesis, verse 26, were created in his image. I cite this so often that I'm sure you get, if you listen to Crusaders regularly, it gets to be a bit repetitious for you. But to be created in the image of God means that there are things in the human being that find their way back into the image of God. In other words, we are created with a mind. We can think. It's clouded, it's limited, but we are people who can think, and therefore we are responsible. We can go on to say that it is also true that we are created with a will. And with that will, we can make a decision. And that decision is that we are free. Free to choose which way we want to go. In the very beginning, at least. That's the way it was. The third characteristic is that the human being is created with a soul or a spirit. And that soul and spirit is eternal. It shall not die. The body where it lives shall finally return to the dust from whence it has come. But then the soul shall go to be with the Father, if by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior has been accepted. So there we are. It's the creation story. So after the human being is created, then the second chapter of Genesis says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Now then, Satan has a word to say to the people who were there in the garden. And so one day he comes to Adam and Eve, and he presents an interesting question. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat from the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" And then Satan said to her, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." In other words, what Satan was anxious to do there, he continues to do in our day. He continues to get us to question the word of God and to say that it is irrational and you don't have to live by it and you'll have a much fuller life, free to go about and do whatever you want to do if you don't have this hanging over your head of what God said. So the lady looked at it. And reading in verse 6, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." Interesting, isn't it? It was so lovely, the bright lights. Oh, yes, with that beautiful fruit in front of me, and to know that I will be wise if I only take this fruit, that was enough for her. And so she put this fruit in the presence of her husband, and he ate of it too. Then something happens. Now she and her husband Adam live in a fallen world. They have been thrown out of relationship with God and consequently out of relationship with one another. They didn't know what to do with their sin when God confronted them. "Adam, where are you?" And he answers, "Well, I'm over here. But I found myself to be naked, and I wanted to hide. Have you eaten of the fruit of which I forbade you to eat?" And what is it that Adam says? Very, very interesting. He tries to rationalize his sin. Now, here you see the chaos that has already come into the soul of a man who at one time was at perfect peace, but when sin came into his life, that peace was gone. Well, he said, it's partly your fault, God, because the woman you gave to me, she gave me of the fruit, and we ate. You see, can I blame this wife? Anything to get myself away from the guilt of that which has happened? And then God says, there are absolutes, Adam. And that was the one absolute that I gave you. Thou shalt not eat of the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you have done it. And for that, the relationship between you and me has been broken. And as a result of that, you live in a fallen world. All around you, there will be sickness, death, wars, broken relationships. And right away, man says, let's fix it. But the problem is, he can't fix it. Because a human being is born with a sinful nature. Now, there's something that many cultures will say, oh, no. That is so old. That is so antique. That is so unrealistic. The human being is basically very good. And if you will moralize him, teach him what's right and wrong, everything will be okay. Wars can be prevented. But our Heavenly Father said, in the end, there will be wars and rumors of war. All of this took place when sin entered into the world. When we begin to rationalize our sins rather than confess them, and when we take out the absolutes and say that everything is relative, no politician can change that. No politician can make amends for that. And so what we try to do is break these things down, and we say there are no absolutes. That's what Satan was saying to Adam. There are no absolutes. And poor Adam didn't know which way to go. And neither does the world today. And only one can change it, and that is God Himself. Now then, you have a very interesting conversation between God and Satan. And so in the third chapter, God begins to talk to Satan. So the Lord God said to the serpent, you see, Satan was speaking through the serpent. He often takes other things or other people or something to entice us away from God. Ah, don't believe in that old theology anymore. You don't have to believe that what God has said is right. That is sort of archaic in many ways. The Christian faith has got to be changed. It's broken. And if you don't change it, you're going to lose the world. People will not listen to you. Why don't you make it so that all are willing to come? Just by a few little changes here and a few little changes there. And when the church does that, it's broken, and it needs to be fixed. Well, God said to the serpent, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. That verse, verse 15 of Genesis 3, is the first messianic prophecy in the Bible. What God is saying here is this: Satan, I created these people to live in fellowship with me. But you separated us by enticing them to go contrary to the law that I had given them, and that was sin. Now I could throw them out. I could start all over. I could forget about having this creation walking on the earth. But I love that human being. I love him so much that I'm going to give him an opportunity through my redemptive plan to bring him back into fellowship with me. I'm going to provide a way out. Now, this is going to be costly. It's going to be costly for me, and it's going to be worse for you. For you will bruise his heel. I'm going to send one, meaning now the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will suffer. He will suffer on a cross for the sins of the world, and that will be very, very difficult. But I will send him, and he will come, and he will be treated unjustly, and he would have to hang on a cross, and nails would penetrate his hands and a sword his side, and he would die. And you could say, ha! And you did say it among some of those humans who stood there at the foot of the cross. You can say, see, I have conquered. But on the third day, he was raised from the dead. And so God reminded him that you may throw an arrow at him and you may bruise his heel, but in the end, he will crush your head. He will defeat you, which means that through the suffering and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this person can be back in fellowship with me both now and forevermore. Now that fellowship comes through Christ Jesus alone. When you change that, people, the church is sick and it needs to have its message changed. To say that all people are going to be saved, regardless, is not true according to the Bible. And therefore, the church at that point needs to be changed. When we say there are many ways to heaven, to try to make it tolerable for the world in which we are a part, so that we do not stick out as the only ones who have the truth, then that kind of thinking, if you want to be true to the Christian faith as presented to us in the Word of God, has to be changed. So you see, friend, we need to be open to change. We who are older need to remember this. There are things in the church that need to be changed, the way we worship, etc. But when we deal with the basic truths of God's Word, to make that faith more appealing to our culture, we are wrong. That kind of thinking has got to be changed. Change in many, many cases where it deals with the basic truths of God's Word is no option. For peace. Amen.
Its day may brighter fade. Christ's glory dead. And from the ground there blossoms red, life that shall endless be.
Lord Jesus, for your love that will not let us go, we give you our thanks. We pray, Lord, that those things that are so precious to you and to us, the way of salvation, the way home, grant, O God, that they may never be changed. But grant that anything that takes away from that blessed word may be changed, and you may find your church again faithful and clean and anxious to point our culture to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In his name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's program has brought you spiritual comfort and joy. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of this ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Cassette tapes, printed copies, and CDs of today's service are available free of charge. However, a gift to help cover production and mailing costs is appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Hundreds of Christian Crusaders sermons are available to be read or printed. Our website is there to serve 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 72nd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.